John chapter 1, we talked about, just fascinating study to me. Verse 35 all the way down to verse number 50, we see Jesus begin the process of recruiting disciples. And I want to focus on Nathanael. I think 2 weeks ago, was getting ready to talk about him, and I looked up. We had about 5 minutes, and I thought, well, there's more here than we have time for. Let's do a little review. We see at the end of John chapter 1 that five different men make the decision to follow Jesus. You know, God will give an invitation, but it's up to us to accept the invitation. You know, God, I believe in the free will of man. Okay, I'm not a Calvinist. I don't have a Calvinist bone in my body. You say, do you agree with the 1, 2, 3? Some people say I'm a 2-point Calvinist, 3-point Calvinist, not a 5-point. I'm a 0. Amen. 0. I don't believe their very first premise is correct. And when you start with a false premise, you're going to build on more false premises. So be very careful. We've been given a free will, folks, a free will. And so that free will has to be exercised in salvation, okay? And so we know that, you know. Now, you know what? The Holy Spirit will convict. The Father will urge you to salvation. Matter of fact, Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father draw him. But don't confuse that with God making you do something. And this whole thing about irresistible grace, you won't find that in your King James Holy Bible. And so be careful about getting caught up in anything that faintly resemble Calvinism. Calvinism has put more Christians in the neutral and prevented more people from being active and trying to win their friends. I mean, think about this. It's a lazy man's theology. Well, whoever's going to get saved is going to get saved. It's already been predetermined, so you know what? Doesn't matter how I live. It's a carnal. It's a carnal Christian's favorite doctrine. It takes us off the hook, you know. It doesn't matter what we do or what we don't do or how we live or what our testimony is, you know. And what a convenient doctrine for lazy, carnal Christians. And so don't get caught up in that nonsense. So they are offered an opportunity. Quick review. We see Andrew and an unnamed disciple. They were disciples of John the Baptist, and we see the interaction between them and Jesus Christ. John says, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. They left and followed Jesus. He turned around and said, what seek ye? And they said, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? And he said, come and see. Here's two men that were already following John the Baptist and had heard his preaching and knew that the Messiah was coming. And when the Messiah was identified, they left John, followed Jesus, and we talked about how good discipleship always directs people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a question Jesus used with Andrew and the unnamed disciple, maybe John, he simply used a question, what seek ye, what seek you? And then Peter, we saw that Jesus recruited him by making a statement. Because his brother told him that he had found the Messiah and brought him to Jesus, Peter followed as a result of Andrew going and finding him and telling him, we have found the Messiah. And so he brought him to Jesus, and the statement that Jesus says to Peter is, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas. So he said, you will be a rock. You will be a rock. This is who you are, Peter. But this is who I want you to be. You know, folks, that's a good thing to use as you're working with the young people around here. You know, give them a vision. I think you have to see the potential in a person before they can see it. Let me say that again. I think you need to see the potential in a person before they can see it. I think it's good every once in a while to tell some of our young people, you know, Michael Broker. You guys know who Michael is? You know a little bit about his situation. You know how, you know what, he's had some ups and downs. And he's just being here, honestly, has to overcome some things to be here. And you know what, about 2 years ago, I pulled Michael aside back there. And, you know, he always jumps on the bus. Michael Broker, by the way, Michael's got one of the best spirits of any young person you'll ever. He's probably got more reasons to have a bad spirit than almost anybody walking around this place. And you know what? That kid always has a smile on his face. You ask him how he's doing. He's doing great. He always comes over, shakes my hand, gives me a hug, talks to me about how his week went. Good spirit. I started telling him, Brother Val, a couple years ago, I said, Michael, I don't know if this will happen or not, but you know what? I could see you being a bus captain at Blessed Hope Baptist Church one of these days. And I started telling him that 2 years ago. And I don't say it every time I see him, but every once in a while I'll say, you know, Michael, don't forget, God might use you to be a bus captain here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church one of these days. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to say this is who you are, but this is who you could be. Amen. And I think, you know what, we need to see the potential in somebody. And that's not flattery. We'll warn against flattery, you know. I'm not making up stuff. I don't say that to just any person. I could see Michael being a bus captain here. I could see Michael being a Sunday school teacher here one of these days. I could see Michael being, but listen, sometimes you got to see it before they can see it. And he was telling Peter here, this is who you are, but this is who you could be. Simon meant hearing or listening one, Cephas, a rock or a stone. Remember, discipleship is a journey of spiritual growth. Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. So Jesus said, I could see that you have this, you're doing this. I could take what you're doing and I can turn it into something that'll work for eternity. Instead of catching a bunch of fish that's going to feed people just for a day or two, you can fish for men and bring them to eternal life. And so don't forget that. Philip purposely seeks out, Jesus purposely seeks out Philip and offers him an invitation. So think about different ways of dealing with different people. A question, what seek ye? A statement, this is who you are, this is who you could be. Philip, Jesus purposely seeks out Philip. John 1, if you look at verse 43, I'm not pointing you to the verses. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me, follow me. And you know, I think that sometimes God allows us to meet people through the avenue of a divine appointment. And I'm just going to tell you, it's happened in my life from time to time. I can remember an instance up in Chicago where, you know, as I'm praying for my bus route all through the week, going to Bible college, working a job, praying for my bus route. As I'm praying for my bus route, more and more, God kept burdening my heart about a little two-block area of my bus route. Now, if you think this is spooky and think I'm making it up, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit knows where the people are. The Holy Spirit knows where the prepared hearts are. Okay? I wish we could get back to believing in divine appointments. You know, why aren't we praying? Why aren't we sensitive? Why aren't we asking God to lead us? But there was a little two-block area that God would leave me alone about. Every time I'd pray, go to 25th place. 25th place was, there was 25th Street, 26th Street, and then there was 25th place, and it was two blocks long. The rest of it, but it's just kind of a block within a block for two blocks, and I couldn't get past that. So me and Danny Poole went visiting that week, and he said, where are we going to start? I said, over on 25th place. He said, why? I said, I don't know. Let's go. Let's walk over there. And I stood there, 25th place, one block of it that way, one block of it this way. I'm standing there, and Danny's like, where are we going? I don't know yet. Leave me alone, Danny. Shut up. What are we doing? Shut up a minute. Okay? Let me think. Let me listen. How about that? Let me listen. Let me listen. And I said, we're going to that apartment right there. And I went over, first door we knocked on, Maria Yanez. By the way, Maria Yanez has driven down a couple times. Actually, she didn't drive both times. They didn't have a car. She took a Greyhound bus to as close as she could get to here. And me and my wife went and picked her up. She was here for our tent revival. Okay? She's a grandma now. All right? I always say, you know, when you're old, when your bus kids are grandma. But she was a 16-year-old girl when I knocked on the door and met her for the first time. And she came. Lourdes, her her sister came, both of them got saved. Brothers came, they got saved. And I knocked on the door and talked to her and told her who I was and met her mom, met her dad, met the kids. I said, what about coming tomorrow? And they said, yeah, that would be fine. And walked away, and Danny is going, Brother Jerry, what? Brother Jerry, what? How do you know that? I don't. By the way, nobody in this room knows either. Let's not put ourselves on some pedestal, okay? If we would pray, does that happen every week? It doesn't happen every week. Didn't happen every day of Philip's life or every week of Philip's life for the Spirit to say, go out in the desert and find the Ethiopian eunuch. But folks, I am convinced there are people out there that if we would be Spirit-led, God is behind the scenes working in the hearts of lost people to get them to the point where they're at least open to coming to church or open to hearing the gospel. He's working in their hearts. Are we letting him work in our hearts? I'm wondering if God has an easier, listen to me, I wonder if God has an easier time getting a lost person to the place where they'd listen than he does getting a Christian Spirit-led enough to go find them. And so I feel like when we see Philip here, Jesus, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, goes to an entire different part of the country, and finds Philip and says to him, follow me. And so anyway, good stuff. All right, so let's get to Nathanael. Here I'm going to put myself in the same situation, aren't I? Okay. Now, Nathanael's interesting, okay, because Jesus has got to win over a skeptic. All right, look at verse 45. You probably will have somebody come to mind when I'm reading this. Nathanael's a skeptic by nature. And verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. He's talking about the Messiah. We found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And what's the first thing Nathanael says? Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, he's skeptical from the get-go, okay? Just because, think about this, just because Philip said that they found him, Nathanael's one of those that's just not going to believe anything easily, okay? Now, by the way, there's some good, there's some positive and negative traits to all personality types, okay? There are some positive things to being skeptical in life, okay? If not, you're going to answer that text that says that you owe money, okay, to the BMV because of some toll you didn't pay. And by the way, they're going to take away your license. And did you get those yet? If you haven't, you're going to get them. That's a scam. Okay, they send you something in the mail. They don't text you. You know how many people have followed? You have to, in some ways, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. I don't mind somebody being skeptical. But there's a protection to that. It's kind of like, you know, the Bereans in the book of Acts, that they willingly received the word, but they went home and studied the scripture to see if these things were so. So I'm not saying that you got to be careful. Without this, you can, you know, he's going to say, in whom is no guile. I'll explain that just a minute. In other words, he's not gullible, okay? Everything's pretty much black and white. Everything's kind of, you have to prove it, okay? And so some people, that's their personality types. They're just skeptical. By the way, is there positive in that? Yes. Is there dangers in that? Absolutely. Because you know what? The just shall live by, and if you're not careful, and you got to have everything proved to you, and you got to have wait a minute, where's faith after a while? Okay, because, you know, for without faith, it's impossible to please God, and sometimes you have to step out on faith. And so here you have Jesus working with him. Now, he used a question on Andrew and the unnamed disciple. He used a statement on Peter. He used just an invitation on Philip and he came. Nathanael, he uses a compliment. He uses a small miracle, just a little glimpse of divinity, and then he prophesies to him. I want you to see these three things. We'll try to teach them fast. And so he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith to him, come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael come to him and said, listen, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. That's the compliment. Nathanael said to him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. That's the small miracle. Because all of a sudden Nathanael's like, how did you know I was sitting under a fig tree? I wasn't anywhere near here. Jesus says, listen, I think with skeptics, I'll get into this, I think with people that are skeptical by nature, sometimes they need to see a little bit of the divine. They need to see something that they can't explain away. Amen. I mean, they just went to Philip and said, follow me. And Philip was just more of that faith person that had just, okay. You know, Andrew came to Peter and said, we found the Messiah. Peter walked over to him and, you know, believed his brother. Then listened to what Jesus said and looked into his eyes. This is who you are, Peter. This is who you could be. And he knew that was the Messiah. And he didn't ask him a bunch of questions. Well, where are you from? What neighborhood were you raised in? Which side of the river in Greene County were you raised in? Can any good thing come out of Bloomfield? I mean, think about it, you know. And, you know, we all have that a little bit where, you know, I don't know. I mean, come on. I mean, I know you mentioned Brother Michael, but you do realize he's from Worthington. Can any good thing come out of Worthington? Yeah, we've had some good things come out of Worthington. So he's more skeptical. So what he does is he uses compliment, he uses a small miracle. And then he says this, verse 49, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Boom. You know what? It took something to persuade him to get him there. First of all, he was skeptical, and then he said something I'll mention, meant a compliment, and then he just opened the window a little bit, just a little bit, and showed him a glimpse of the divine, a little proof of the miraculous, and then he said, wow, there's no way you could have known that if you aren't the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Notice what Jesus answered and said to him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And that's his way of inviting him. You think that was something? You're impressed because I saw you in a place where I couldn't have seen you with human eyes. If you'll follow me, that's going to be on the bottom of the list of the miraculous. You remember, you realize Nathanael was there every time the disciples are mentioned from that point on. What did he get to see? And sometimes I think God gives skeptics a little glimpse to the divine, and then they think, man, there's something going on here. There's something super. Now, Tony's out of town this week, but Tony, by nature, Tony Anderson, and he'd tell you this, I think he'd be fine with me sharing it. He's skeptic. He said, when I came to church, I'm skeptical by nature. And he said, it was kind of one of those things where I come in and I'm just looking around saying, yeah, these are really nice people, but I don't know if I believe all this. And if you'll ask him, God had to open the window of the miraculous and give him a glimpse before he realized, okay, something I can't explain is going on. Okay? And somehow that's how God has to deal with certain people. Remember, some people just easily give their faith. By the way, that's great. It's going to help them in their Christian life, but it also can make them very, I mean, folks, there's a good balance here, I think. Okay? I think, you know what, you got to have that faith walk, but you better make sure that whoever you're following is from the Lord. Okay, because you can be kind of that, hey, just jump in with both feet on everything, and next thing you know, you're following somebody you shouldn't be following. So somewhere between these two is a good place. How did Jesus win a skeptic? Number one, he complimented him. I think sometimes we just need to say, let me tell you who you are. Because Jesus said, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Guile means subtlety or deceitfulness or craftiness or trickery. Jesus complimented him because he was an Israelite who had no patience with fakes or hypocrites. You know what? He lived his life in a very black and white way, and he kind of examined people in a very black and white way. And so he didn't live his life the way, he didn't live his life that way, and he despised those who did. Before he would follow Jesus, he wanted to make sure that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And when I talk about dealing with this type of personality type, to some people, things are very black and white. They only believe what they can see with their own eyes. They're skeptical of most everyone until they watch them for a while. They don't just believe things because someone says it. And by the way, I want to say again, all of that can be very positive. This is both a strength and weakness. This is both a strength and weakness. Be careful. Don't pride yourself on not being willing to step out on faith or not believing anything until it's proven. Or you won't believe a large part of the Bible. Amen. Okay? By faith, we understand the worlds were formed by the words of God. By faith. You weren't there. You didn't see it. At some point, you got to exercise faith. Okay? So be careful. And I mentioned the Bereans, you know, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. I think that's where the balance. They received the word with all readiness of mind. So they're open to the Bible and open to its teaching. Don't sit out there like this in every sermon, trying to find something that you can disagree with. They received the word with all readiness of mind. Did I tell you to bring a Bible? B-I-B-L-E, open it up, follow along. Okay, we want you to have a Bible, okay? But then it says that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Skeptics put both the message and the messenger under the microscope. This is good for us Christians. Why do you have a problem as a skeptic? I don't. Okay, if we're going to preach something, then we better be living something. With the understanding that nobody's perfect. You know, if you're determined to find fault in someone, you can find fault in someone. But, you know, do they consistently live what they say they believe? Then, you know what? That's going to take that type of a testimony to win a skeptic. A glimpse of divinity. Before that fell, called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Skeptics often need to see something divine and unexplainable before they believe. The Jews, by the way, were renowned for this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And Jesus sometimes rebuked them for requiring a sign. They always wanted proof. Well, do some miracle. Show us some sign. And by the way, Jesus at times, they got to see signs all the time. They got to see miracles all the time. And then they said, well, now prove that you're the Son of God. Listen, Jesus wasn't a magician that's going to do miracles just because somebody's skeptical. He's like, if you've been following me, you've been watching and paying attention, you shouldn't have any doubt. He said, John bear witness of me. The miracles I've done have borne witness of me. My Father bears witness of me. If you had any relationship with God, you know who I was. Amen. But God still gave the Jews enough divine evidences. If they'd been paying attention and watched, and they saw what Jesus did. There was really no excuse. So from time to time, God would say, the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 12 answering, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Matthew 16, all right, that's 12, verse 16. Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign. And he said this, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? He said, really, you can look up and see the weather, see what the sky looks like, predict the weather a little bit, and yet you can't see the miracles I've been performing and know who I am. I'm not here to do magic tricks for you. I've given you enough that if you want to believe, you can believe. Okay? And so that's what Jesus. Now, did they really want a sign? Because I could take you to John chapter 9. We don't have time. And see where they saw a blind man healed. And then they brought the blind man in and started grilling him and accused him of faking and asked his parents, was he really blind? And is this really your son? And he's trying to testify of Jesus. And they're shouting him down. He finally just said, listen, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, now I can see. if this man's an evil man, I don't know. All I know is he's healed me. So did they really want to sign? Because they had him right in front of them, and then they try to argue him away. And so sometimes a skeptic, it's hard to win him to Christ because it's almost like they're determined to be right. Listen, I don't mind you being skeptical, but I feel like there's some folks that you're trying to help, and you know what? You're so skeptical, and it's not has anything to do with God hasn't given you proof, or the Bible's not saying what it wants to be. It's just your stinking pride, and you can't admit you're wrong about anything. Amen. And some of you are going to get stuck right where you're at, or go backwards in your faith if you don't get past that. And then Jesus gives this wonderful prophecy. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And then here's a skeptic that has to make a decision. We're done. But all of a sudden he's like, wait a minute. How did he know that I was under the fig tree? And how did he know my personality type and identified it and pointed out to me exactly who I am before we even started the conversation? And my goodness sakes, he just invited me. You think what I just showed you is amazing. Follow me and you'll see a lot more. But Nathaniel still had to decide. And you know what he decided? I think I'll just follow him. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson. I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord. And wonderful, wonderful to see the different personality types, Jesus, that you chose to follow you. And I pray that you'll bless the service that follow in Jesus' name. Amen.